This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, joining me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, very, very excited to have him. Not only is he a fellow Terp, he's a Fox News contributor, and he just got a huge endorsement today on his brand new book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big, Beautiful Campaign, Unburdened by What Has Been. He's Joe Concha. Joe, how you doing, man?
It's been a long non-weekend, my friend, no question, but fear the turtle, and good to be on with a fellow Terp who, when I say Voo Bentley Santa Fe, knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, except, you know, I took my son to the White House on Monday for the Eagles visit last week, and Sunday we drove through College Park, and I was going to take him to Bentley's, but they're closed on Sundays. I don't know what that's about, but, the whole town has changed. It's very, very posh, very she-she, very different from when we were there.
No more Cluck You Chicken, too, which is a big disappointment. But
I know.
The 90s will only be once, and that's
right. That's true. So you got a big endorsement from the president himself today about your new book. Congrats. It's huge.
I didn't see it coming, but sure enough, he was watching Fox, apparently, when I was on, and decided to go to Truth Social and say, you know, there's a great book, you got to read it. And he gave me an interview for the book. So that was, you know, I've met him before. I was at Mar-a-Lago for New Year's Eve. I was backstage with him in Wildwood for that rally. A lot of people from Philly were there, certainly. And so it wasn't totally surprising that I got that endorsement, but at the same time, good to hear that the president is embracing the book, because it is the most accurate account of the 2024 election. That's certainly for sure, because I was backstage in Wildwood, backstage at the RNC. I was at Madison Square Garden for that big rally as well. I was at the debate in Atlanta. Obviously, I spoke to the president, spoke to his people. And you're going to learn a lot of things in this book, Rich, that you haven't heard before. That I do know.
So, Joe, how did you get such access to the president, to the campaign, to the top people around him?
I think they watch Fox, to be honest with you, Rich, and I'm on a lot. As you know, they keep me busy. And I just think they see me as, and I'm kind of uncomfortable talking about myself, but from what I've been told about myself, that I try to be a straight shooter. I'm a Jersey guy. I'm authentic. And I've criticized Trump in the past as well. So it's not like I'm a sycophant that's just going to do and say everything they want. So I guess I earn some level of respect by being objective and just telling it like it is. And, you know, you ask and you shall receive. And sure enough, I asked to go to the Wildwood rally, and that was interesting because they said, well, we'll provide transportation. I'm like, awesome. I'll get an Uber. My Acura has like 260,000 miles on it. I'm not getting to Wildwood 2.5 hours in that thing. That's for sure. And then sure enough, they write me an email saying, okay, so you're going to meet the Trump plane on the tarmac at LaGuardia Airport, and we're going to fly down Atlantic City, and then you'll go in the motorcade from there. I'm like, oh, that transportation. So that was interesting. And you get in the plane, Rich, and I hadn't even really eaten breakfast. I had like a half a yogurt, and by this point, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, boy, what are they going to serve? Like, you think they'll have steak? It's a Trump plane. I mean, this is going to be high class, right? And sure enough, fast food comes out, burger, tater tops, French fries, Diet Coke. So I have pictures of it, which is interesting. And then know, I obviously met the Trump, Mr. Trump on the plane as well. We land, we get in the motorcade. And as we're driving down Garden State Parkway, as you know, it gets smaller as you go more south because it's not as populated. So it's only two lanes. They close off one lane and then the motorcade's in the other. And then sure enough, I look to my left and these two old ladies, they look like they're out of the Golden Girls, like in a Toyota Tercel. They're looking over at us like, where are we? What's going on? I'm like, how did they get here? Right? Because they can just pull right up to the president's, you know, car and God knows what. Obviously, they're not going to do that. But how did they penetrate the motorcade? It was just the most bizarre thing. And that was a preview of things to come because we get to Wildwood. The town officials say there are 100,000 people there. And the riots are still operating above the stage where Trump is speaking. Planes, the small ones that you see at the Jersey Shore, are still able to fly over the stage. And the boardwalk was completely open. I had to believe the 100,000 people that were on the beach that day, you know, they couldn't have all gone through metal detectors. So it didn't feel very secure. And I wrote that in my notes and I even texted that to my wife. I'm like, this does not feel the way it should for a presidential candidate who is under threat more than anybody in the world. And then sure enough, that was a preview for what happened in Butler nearly 2 months later, where they didn't secure the one building they had to. They let a 20-year-old kid outflank them, hide a high-powered rifle next to that building, where if the president doesn't turn his head in such a manner at just the right time, we're having a different conversation right now. And then the second assassination, same thing, Rich. Trump International, I walked it last week. I was doing a speech there. I went to the sixth hole where the sniper's nest was for Ryan Ruth, the second assassin. And if anybody walked the perimeter, and remember, he was there for 12 hours, they would have seen this guy pretty quickly. Yeah. So no one walked the perimeter. They let Trump on stage in Butler when they knew there was a threat. It's so many questions here, and we asked them in the book. That's certainly for sure.
Joe Konch is with me. His new book is out right now, endorsed by President Trump. So this campaign seemed to me, at least, a whole lot more disciplined than the previous campaigns. And since you got all this access and you were watching this and you wrote about it, do you credit Susie Wiles with that, the now White House chief of staff who was running the campaign?
Absolutely, Rich. And Chris Lacivita as well, who's a brilliant strategist, has been doing this for a long time. And the thing is, like in 2016, when Trump got into the White House, it was leaks everywhere. He had a cabinet that was actively working against each other and against him, right? And then 2020, not a very disciplined campaign. I mean, it was hard because COVID made it so difficult to do anything resembling a campaign. And Trump's doing 2-hour press conferences on coronavirus as well at those press briefings. Like it was uneven, right? And you could see why. But in 2024, this was discipline. There were no leaks. And I think the most important thing, Rich, is that Trump trusted Susie Wiles. He trusted Chris Lacivita. When they said, go to McDonald's, he went to McDonald's, right? Which that's the picture that I have in the cover of the book. And I showed Trump the cover. He's like, that's what I would have used too. Everybody probably told you to use the assassination with the blood on my face. He goes, no, no, no. He goes, this is the one that really captured the campaign. He goes to the Al Smith dinner when Kamala Harris blows it off. That was a big moment as well, because that's the Catholic vote right there. And then just overall, like going on the Joe Rogan podcast, going on Theo Vaughn, doing all these different media outlets that aren't traditional media, aren't legacy media. He's reaching people, non-propensity voters, younger voters that helped him win the election, while Kamala is running to Al Sharpton on MSNBC or paying Oprah $1 million to interview or doing interviews with CNN. Those weren't reaching the people that she needed ultimately to win. So the media strategy, the campaign strategy, almost a flawless campaign. And he campaigned in blue cities and states as well. We talked about New Jersey, but Madison Square Garden, that was a big moment as well. So, yeah, a lot of big moments to talk about in this book. No question about it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you used the McDonald's cover, too. I mean, not only did it happen right here in our listening area in Pennsylvania, but it was such a man of the people kind of moment for him, while mocking her claim that she worked at McDonald's, while at the same time showing just this kind of fun everyday side to him that he's capable of doing. And he does a lot. The other reason why I'm glad you used it is because it was from McDonald's in Pennsylvania, Bucks County, critical must-win area of a must-win state, which he won. And so that kind of brings us to this campaign. And I don't know if you get into this in the book or not, Joe, because I just got it, but I haven't had a chance to finish it yet. Sure. And it's excellent. Congratulations on it. But I mean,
thanks, man.
How much do you think would have changed if Biden, say, had gotten out earlier or remained the candidate? I mean, I know it's hard to think about hypotheticals, but we know Kamala Harris was a disaster as a candidate, probably the worst candidate ever in the history of politics. Did the Trump campaign have to readjust their strategy when Biden dropped out?
That was the thing that what Lacivita told me is that they didn't adjust their strategy when Kamala got in, and people were panicking almost because you saw these polls where Kamala in the brat summer in August, when remember when she became the nominee, they didn't let her do any interviews for 6 weeks, which means, The View wants you on. Nope, we're not going to allow it. Right. Rachel Maddow wants you on. Nope, we're not going to allow it. So they're writing this teleprompter campaign. But Lacivita, what he said was Trump's number never went below 47%. Like it always stayed there. And her number, like, in other words, he had a ceiling. She didn't have a ceiling. In other words, like she can never penetrate 44-45% ultimately, and especially in swing states where she was seen as a San Francisco elitist snob. And oh, by the way, to your point, a disaster, a human Chernobyl when she was outside of a teleprompter. So that ran during Sunday Night Football, obviously very highly rated, and just one mistake after the other for the Kamala Harris campaign. Probably the biggest mistake was the one decision she made was who's going to be my vice presidential candidate. And there you have your Josh Shapiro, 60% approval in a purple state, and could have chose him. Nate Silver said that the candidate that wins Pennsylvania has a 98% chance of winning.
Yep.
That was probably true. And she needs the state. And what does she do? Now I'll go to Minnesota, which has the longest streak for voting for Democrats for president. You got to go all, even Mondale beat Reagan there. The one state that he won was Minnesota, right? So she's like, I'm going to go with that goofy 80s sitcom dad who keeps calling J.D. Vance weird because the media thinks he's funny and cool and not even vet his record. Like, wait a minute, he wants tampons in elementary school boys' bathrooms? I have a third grader and I'm pretty sure he doesn't need that. The guy who let Minneapolis burn to the ground, the guy who said he held weapons in war when he never did, the guy who said he was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacres when he was a cornfield in Nebraska. But the thing that pissed me off most, Rich, given that you have a lot of Eagles fans watching, is when Tim Walz is playing AOC in Madden Twitch, like basically like the Madden video game we played growing up. And he says, well, you know, that AOC can run a mean pick six. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a football coach. Okay, I truly am a football coach. And as you know, Rich, you can't run a pick six. It's something that just kind of happens. You jump a route, ball gets tipped, whatever. It's not a play you run, damn it. And then when he said that, I'm like, this guy's such a phony. And that's how he came across. And that's why I think the VP pick was more consequential than it has been in some time, because Vance was that good and Walz was that bad.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. And it's not that I think the president would have lost to Kamala Harris if she had had a better pick. I think it would have just been a different campaign. I think certainly, I mean, Josh Shapiro is popular in Pennsylvania. People do like him. He's much more outspoken. And I don't know, he just doesn't come across so goofy and awkward and didn't put tampons in the bathroom. So all those things. But right. He was Jewish and he is Jewish. And obviously that's a problem for the Democrat Party with looking at Michigan. So I don't think he was ever a real contender at the time. I guess the other question is, when you think about Butler, and like you said, you know, that day, and you've written about it, you've talked about it many, many times. I mean, that day was a game changer. I knew then that it was over. It was going to be a landslide after that moment. Yeah. And I think that one of the things he did really, really well was to say that he believed that God saved him for a reason. And I really do think that moment, that mattered, and how he used that to talk about faith was also something very important for this race. Do you agree?
Oh gosh, absolutely. I mean, his reaction in general, just from the moment he was hit, was perfect. And not a lot of time to think about, like, hey, how am I going to choreograph this, like the way MSNBC tried to portray it. Like, his instinct was, I interviewed him for the book, and I asked him, I said, look, you're on the ground, you know you're hit, you have blood on your face, the Secret Service is on top of you. And your instinct was to stand up above the Secret Service and say, fight, fight, fight to the crowd, when you didn't know totally that there wasn't a second shooter out there. Like any other time, like you saw when Reagan got shot, you get him into the car and get him out of there, right? There is no messing around. And Trump said, you know what? I knew it would look weak if they put me on the stretcher that was on the stage. I said, wait a minute, there was a stretcher on the stage? He said, yeah. He goes, oh, I guess no one really heard that before. But yeah, there was a stretcher on the stage, and there was. He said, I didn't want to get on that. I said, no way in hell I'm going on that. And he said, I knew my youngest son was watching. I knew my wife was watching. My family was watching, and the country was watching. And if I didn't let them know that I was okay, and more importantly, that we were going to continue to fight, 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 because this movement is too important. We had a country to save, and I had to let everybody know that that was was going to be the case and to let my family know that I was going to be okay and I would see them again. That's what I was thinking of at the time. And I'm thinking, wow, I would have done something completely different in that situation. Get me in that car and get me the hell out of there. But he was thinking about more than himself. And I think for the rest of the campaign, Rich, I think maybe he did have kind of a come to Jesus moment where maybe he appreciated everything he had as far as campaigning and rallying, and, you know, which he loved so much. And most importantly, his time in the White House, which he really seems like a happy guy right now. Like he really appreciates where he is. We're in 2016, 2017 when he was in office. That was just one. It was an uneven time. Here, he seems so confident in his arguments and his agenda, and he just keeps moving forward, like he said.
Yeah, and it's just, Joe, and you know, and the last thing, because I know you got to run, you're going to be back on Fox News very shortly, but the last thing I'll say is that I think he's happy because he's also, he has people around him who he trusts, whereas the time around, you know, they put in all these RNC people and other people who were not part of his campaign, not part of his inner circle, and he saw a lot of them try to undermine him, whereas this time around, he's got a team that's been with him, many people since day number one, and then other people who came aboard after, but the point is that he wasn't assigned people this time, you know, like, you got to put this person in or that person in. It's his people.
Yeah, he felt like, for instance, like Jeff Sessions. Well, Sessions was with him from the beginning, and he endorsed him, so I guess I'll make him AG. So then when the whole Russia BS comes about, then Sessions is like, oh, well, I got to recuse myself. I'm out of here. You know, it's like, wait, no one else would have, like, let's put it this way. Pam Bondi would not be recusing herself, right? And he just had all these other folks around him, defense apparatus, whether it be his chief of staff. He went through several of those. Anthony Scaramucci, we know what he's saying about Trump now. Yeah. Yeah, the Mooch was the director of communication for all of 11 days, but he's still got in there somehow. So yeah, now he has the team that he wants, right? Especially Susie Wiles as chief of staff. So that's why he feels more confident, because as you've noticed, there's not a lot of leaks happening right now, and he knows what his agenda is and what he needs to do to get it done. I think he also knows that Democrats aren't going to work with him in any way, shape, or form, so he's just going to go right through there instead of trying to come to any compromise in any way, shape, or form, because they would do the same thing. We saw it with Biden. So yeah, whole different ballgame. First 100 days, I'd say, have been a blitzkrieg. Many good things have come out of it. The next 100 days, though, are the most important. Big, beautiful bill, and get those tariffs down to 0-0 with a lot of countries, start getting some deals in. You're going to see the economy take off like rocket fuel, and Democrats will have no answers because all they've done is Festivus, an airing of grievances and a show about nothing, no solutions whatsoever. Again, I'm going back to the 90s, Rich. I'm sorry.
Hey, man, I'm with you. I was there with you. I'm in Jersey with you. I was in Maryland with you, and I'm in the 90s and the 80s with you playing Madden. So it's all good, my man. Congrats on the book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big, Beautiful Campaign. Get it wherever books are sold. Joe Concha, thanks, man. Keep up the great work.
Fear the turtle. Thank you, Rich.
You got it, man. Go Terps.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm, I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Say goodbye to Hollywood. Say goodbye to Hollywood. In our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. So earlier today, the president addressed tariffs on the film industry, something that he had put out there. And the White House says that they're exploring all options on it. This is what was said earlier today when he gave, after the announcement that D.C. was going to host the NFL draft. He was asked a question about Hollywood. I like that he takes a shot at Gavin Newsom, but he doesn't really call him new scum. But no, he did ruin Hollywood, and I'll give you some reasons why. But this was the exchange today at the White House. It's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Don't forget, by the way, tomorrow, Politics and Pints. We are going to be live at the Great American Pub before the show tomorrow night. It's on Bridge Road, and it's in Phoenixville, and they're going to have Miller Lite specials. So hopefully you'll come out and see us for that. Hopefully you're coming to Politics and Pints. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bridge Street in Phoenixville, Miller Lite specials, Great American Pub. All right? And then Politics and Pints. This was the exchange from earlier today. Take a listen.
About how you would implement tariffs on the film industry, kind of how that would work.
Well, that's a different story, but our film industry has been decimated by other countries taking them out, and also by incompetence, like in Los Angeles. The governor is a grossly incompetent man. He's just allowed it to be taken away from, you know, Hollywood. Hollywood doesn't do very much of that business. They have the nice sign and everything's good, but they don't do very much. A lot of it's been taken to other countries, and a big proportion. And I'm actually going to meet with some because, you know, there's some advantages, I guess, and I'm not looking to hurt the industry. I want to help the industry. But they're given financing by other countries. They've given a lot of things. And the industry was decimated. If you look at how little is done in this country now, you know, you think we were the ones. We used to do 100, not long ago, 100%. Now we do almost like very little. It's shocking. You in that business too, because he's in so many businesses you could explain it, but it's not a good situation. So we're going to meet with the industry. I want to make sure they're happy with it, because we're all about jobs. That's all what I'm, you know, it's very important. It's a big industry, but it's an industry now that's it's really left, it's abandoned the USA where it started. And we'll get it back.
So the first of all, I don't think this is a national security issue. Movies being made overseas is not a national security threat, even if there is propaganda. There's propaganda in movies that are made in Hollywood, obviously. Although they don't make movies in Hollywood anymore. But let's understand why movies have left Hollywood, which at one point was the film capital of the country, no doubt about it. A lot of movies now are made in Austin. Some are made in Jersey. Netflix just got $400 billion from the state of New Jersey or something like that to open up a big facility in New Jersey and start filming more stuff there. There was a piece several years ago from The Times, The Death of Hollywood, and they talk about this idea that in the future, you've got some people walking around, they go, oh, they used to make movies here. And they said they actually don't shoot anything really in Los Angeles anymore. Film and TV production is increasingly migrating to cities like Atlanta or to the UK, Australia, South Africa, and Eastern Europe. Motivated by generous financial incentives, skilled cast and crew, and in the case of the UK, more compact geography and access to Europe and North Africa. California has become an expensive and complicated place to make films, with high labor costs and rents, powerful unions, tough regulations, water rationing, and the real prospect of natural disasters such as wildfires. This was written years ago. It's perhaps telling that when Amazon decided to move production of their Lord of the Rings series away from New Zealand for the second season, it turned not to the U.S., but to the U.K., where the booming film industry is worth more than $3 billion, despite the upheavals of Brexit. And a lot of the comments, too, they only need an agent in Hollywood and to visit there for the odd meeting or audition. Meanwhile, Hollywood stars are moving. They're moving to different places. Rumored rises in California's millionaire tax come into it as well. And then there was COVID. And during COVID, for example, Tom Cruise lobbied the United Kingdom to let them go ahead and keep going with Mission Impossible during the pandemic, because Gavin Newsom shut California down completely and wouldn't allow any movies to be made. And so for a few years, we were stuck at home, or, you know, at least when we could start to go out again, there was like nothing good. There was this real dearth of a period where there was nothing good in the movies or anywhere like that. One of the UK's rivals is Atlanta, Georgia, which has impressive studios, offers tax breaks of about 20%, and has been dubbed the Hollywood of the South. Two of the biggest films of this summer, this is Jungle Cruise and Suicide Squad, were shot there. A slew of Marvel movies, including the last two Avengers films, Black Panther sequel, and others shot there as well. There's a lot of reasons for what's happening, but much of the boom is due to the bottom line, the tax rebates, and just how incredibly expensive it is to do business in the state of California. So people that make a lot of money, who make it, they don't want to stay there anymore. This is the same reason why people are moving out of state, like moving out of California and New Jersey and other places like this. So they have offices in Hollywood, offices in L.A. They go there, they have meetings there, but they don't actually shoot them there. It's a lot cheaper to shoot them in other places. It's something that Dana Carvey and David Spade talked about as well a few months ago. Now, Netflix is betting on the idea that in the future, they're not even going to make movies at all. You know, they're not even going to make movies at all. And not movies for movie theaters. That's their bet. They said that they're actually saving Hollywood by making movies that are going to be streaming at home. And they have this Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, these big studios there. And a spokesperson for the streaming giant said they launched the website at NetflixNewJersey.com to share updates on the development of Netflix studios at Fort Monmouth. I guess Robert De Niro was spotted in New Jersey recently, and he was there. But they're making Netflix. This is going to be a huge, huge studio for them right in New Jersey. And His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, and Netflix announced this $400 million plan to build this state-of-the-art facility at Fort Monmouth in New Jersey. They're saying it's going to be 1,500 permanent production jobs, 3,500 construction-related jobs. Netflix plans to commit $848 million in capital investments. The state is putting a ton of cash into this, as you can imagine. And it's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money. It hopefully becomes an economic engine. The interesting thing about it, of course, is that you have all these people who are going to be there. But it doesn't necessarily guarantee that they'll live in New Jersey or work in New Jersey or shop in New Jersey. I mean, they might work in New Jersey, but they may not live there or spend money there. They're going to have 12 sound stages that will raise in size from 15,000 square feet to 40,000 square feet, each with a minimum total build out of 180,000 square feet and a maximum build out of 480,000 square feet. Additional and ancillary improvements may include office space, production services buildings, mill space, and studio backlots. Netflix's decision to make a major investment in New Jersey is crystal clear evidence that Governor Murphy's commitment to building a thriving film and television industry in New Jersey is working. New Jersey is the birthplace of film. Well, that's true. It is. And they have the board of the Fort Monmouth Economic Revitalization Authority, a purchase and sale and redevelopment agreement with Netflix for the property. And the deadline, all of these things that went into this a few years ago, and now they're actually shooting and going forward with this. I mean, this was announced in 2022. Netflix, New Jersey. But Netflix doesn't think, I mean, they truly believe that nobody's going to go to the movies anymore. Nobody's going to go to the movies and everybody will just watch at home. I personally hope that's not the case. I hope that they actually do have movie theaters sticking around. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. The industry is obviously going through a lot. I don't think movies made overseas is a national security issue. I'm not really worried about propaganda and everything else. There's propaganda made by movies, like I said, in the United States of America. But I think what the real issue for these movie companies that they have to figure out is how they can find places to shoot their films and their TV shows and not have to spend a fortune doing so. But it's probably too late for California at this point. I mean, for Netflix to establish this huge, massive facility in New Jersey, it kind of says everything about really the end of Hollywood being the movie capital of the country, no doubt about it. But you got to get the movies away from the United Kingdom. The best way to do that is not tariffs. The best way to do that is incentives to get them to shoot here. But a lot of people say it's crony capitalism. You know, you're favoring industries by giving them money to shoot movies and TV shows here with no guarantee it's really going to benefit the economy. It's going to benefit the industry. But if you create all these jobs to build the place, once it's built, they could fly in actors and fly in set people and fly in people to do all those things. There's no guarantee they're going to spend any money in the state or generate really anything for the economy of the state. So you always have to factor that stuff into it too. And the problem that I always have with these film credits and tax subsidies and everything else is that we wind up paying for it. Hollywood or Netflix or the big movie companies, TV shows, they'll shoot there. They'll have production facilities there. But how much of that money really goes back into the local economy? How much of that movie really gets into the taxpayers' pockets? You know what I mean? That's what I don't know. And it doesn't seem like a way to really know that for sure. And probably the best way to do it is to say to Netflix, all right, we'll make a deal with you, but you got to hire New Jersey people. You got to use Jersey caterers. You got to use Jersey set people. You got to use the unions, you know, the guys. Or you don't get the money. I mean, it's not like the state's telling them what to do. If you're going to make a partnership like that, then part of the deal should be you got to use our people. You know, and then maybe that won't be good enough for them. They'll go someplace else. I don't know. It just, whenever you get these kind of deals, it seems great. You're like, wow, oh, Netflix has 180,000 square foot facility. They'll pay property taxes on that. They'll pay so there certainly is money going into the economy, but the taxpayers are also putting a lot of money into this investment. So to make sure that you get something out of it, it would kind of be a guarantee of like, all right, and you're going to hire as many Jersey people as you possibly can then, right? But so much of the regulations of the cost of the pandemic too was a game changer, because suddenly then during the pandemic, they turned around and they said, so you mean we don't have to sit here and we don't have to put up with this nonsense? We can go someplace else? Great. By the way, the other big announcement today was that DC will get the 2027 NFL draft. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, was at the White House today talking to the president and saying that, yes, they will get the NFL draft is going to be on the National Mall in 2027. So there you go. That'll be fun to watch. And that'll be a good time. And obviously, you know, I'm of the mindset that I got to take a break. That's my mindset. I got to take a break. But let me tell you about Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, let Dr. Mike be your guy. You know, it's May. We're almost to wedding season and sweet 16 parties and graduations. And how's your smile? How's your smile doing? If you needed a smile update, you got to go see my buddy, Dr. Mike. But even if you know, just for dental health purposes, you really should go see Dr. Mike Vanaria. He's the best dentist there is. He's dedicated to what he does. And yes, he's my family's dentist. We all go see him. All the Ziolis go see him. The level of care and commitment to dental excellence is the best by far. So if you've been putting off going to see a dentist or getting that complicated dental procedure, do it today. All right, do it today. Just go to VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020. Remember, for 10 years in a row, his peers have said Dr. Mike is the man, and he is the man for a reason. That reason is he's the best. There simply is no one better. I'm proud to call him a friend, proud to tell you that the people in his office are fantastic, with great music playing, great people. And they will give you the smile of your dreams. VanariaDental.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so it's been a busy day today as we get ready to turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it very, very much. You know, I was thinking CNN got mocked, brutally mocked, for interviewing that MS-13 gang member, you know, and having the conversation with him like, oh, you know, what's it like for you to be it must be so hard for you to be a MS-13 gang member. Interviewing deadly cartel members. This is what I mean. This is where we are today. But my favorite is Spartacus Booker, Count Grandstangela, Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band. He actually used a clip of The West Wing, the show The West Wing, to defend keeping NPR and PBS, the Aaron Sorkin propaganda. So this is what he posted earlier today on his account on X. Take a listen.
We like PBS, but we also work for congressmen who have constituencies that want to know why the federal government is subsidizing television for rich people.
It's not television for rich people.
Oh, Toby.
It's not television for rich people. In fact, the public television audience is a fairly accurate reflection of the social and economic makeup of the United States. One quarter of the PBS audience is in households with incomes lower than $20,000 a year. Blacks comprise 11% of the public television audience, and blacks comprise 11% of the commercial TV audience. 47% of PBS viewers have a high school education or less, which is 1% better than the commercial TV audience. So what are you talking to me about?
Product licensing for Big Bird dolls and Fuzzy Bear toys?
Fuzzy Bear.
Oh, whatever.
It's Fuzzy Bear, not Fuzzy Bear.
Product licensing for this merchandise brings in over $20 million a year, none of which goes to PBS, all of which goes to the show's producer, the Children's Television Workshop. Now, this is a company whose chief executive earns high six figures in salary and benefits per year, yet Sesame Street is subsidized by taxpayer dollars.
It's a perfectly reasonable complaint.
And?
I don't care.
So we...
But we're going to see to all those things. In the meantime, at a time when the public is rightly concerned about the impact of sex and violence on TV, this administration is going to protect the Muppets. We're going to protect Wall Street Week. We're going to protect Live from Lincoln Center. And by God, we are going to protect Julia Child.
Okay, so Julia Child is dead. The Muppets are now owned by HBO Max. That episode was filmed in the early aughts, like around 2000 or so, maybe the late 90s. Think of how much life has changed since that happened. Think of how much life has changed. since that episode in terms of PBS and NPR, in terms of the variety of news platforms you have and streaming platforms. The Muppets are, I'm sorry, Disney owns the Muppets. Right, right. Disney, not HBO Max. Disney owns the Muppets. I think Sesame Street is over on HBO Max. Disney owns the Muppets, and they are a massive franchise. They bring in billions of dollars a year for Disney, along with everything else that they do. Yet I'm supposed to believe we got to fund PBS and NPR. I'm supposed to believe we got to do that. I'm supposed to believe that if we don't do that, that's a real problem for us. And somehow all these poor homes out there won't have access to great entertainment. Now, you know, we have to subsidize internet. That's the thing. We have to subsidize internet in poor places. So if the argument is that we have to fund NPR and PBS because poor people won't have access to television and radio and entertainment, like Toby says in The West Wing, if that's the case, then can't they just stream something else that is a private entity and commercial? Like, in other words, you can watch it for free. You have to watch commercials, though. But you have to watch it for free, like Tubi or something like that. No, you don't have to pay a monthly subscription, nothing like that. Isn't that the answer? You let the free marketplace do its thing versus turning around and saying. But they could also turn to the legacy media like MSNBC, which had to issue a correction regarding a claim it made about FBI Director Kash Patel. This is not made up. This is not The Onion. It's not the Babylon Bee. The Onion. I don't even think it's still around anymore. This is not the Babylon Bee. This is real. MSNBC issuing a correction.
And now let's circle back to a segment from Friday's show. Frank Figluzzi was on that morning during this hour discussing the work of administration officials. At the end of that segment, Figluzzi said that FBI Director Kash Patel has reportedly been more visible at nightclubs than at his office at FBI headquarters. This was a misstatement. We have not verified that claim. We will be right back.
We have not verified that claim that Frank Fugazi made. We can't verify that claim that Frank Fugazi made. All right. Frank Fugazi. So maybe, yeah, maybe you could do what the legacy media like MSNBC and the other trolls do. You know what I mean? You can just, the kids can watch that instead of the Muppets. I'm going to protect the Muppets. Give me a break. Do I think we're going to reopen Alcatraz? No, I do not think we're going to reopen Alcatraz. I don't think that's going to happen. But nevertheless, fun to think about. Excellent tour if you've never done it. If you do go out west, if you go to San Francisco, make sure you hit up Alcatraz. It is a fantastic tour. Do I think it's going to happen? No.
To reopen Alcatraz, how will you use it? How did you come up with the idea?
Well, I guess I was supposed to be a movie maker. We started with the movie making and we'll end. I mean, it represents something very strong, very powerful in terms of law and order. Our country needs law and order. Alcatraz is, I would say, the ultimate, right? Alcatraz, Sing Sing, and Alcatraz, the movies. But it's right now a museum, believe it or not. A lot of people go there. It housed the most violent criminals in the world, and nobody ever escaped. One person almost got there, but they, as you know the story, they found his clothing rather badly ripped up. And it was a lot of shark bites, a lot of problems. Nobody's ever escaped from Alcatraz, and just represented something strong having to do with law and order. We need law and order in this country. And so we're going to look at it. Some of the people up here are going to be working very hard on that. And we had a little conversation. I think it's going to be very interesting. We'll see if we can bring it back in large form, add a lot. But I think it represents something. Right now it's a big hulk that's sitting there rusting and rotting. You look at it, it's sort of, you saw that picture that was put out, it's sort of amazing. But it sort of represents something that's both horrible and beautiful and strong and miserable, weak. It's got a lot of qualities that are interesting, and I think they make a point.
Well, there was a movie called Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood, who played Frank Morris, who the guy was that they believe drowned, but probably escaped, but maybe not. Who knows? They say he is. They say that he's the only one. They don't know exactly definitively if, in fact, he, you know. But we don't know. We don't know for sure. But I think people think that he was he died. But I don't know. Now they do triathlons from they do an escape from Alcatraz triathlon where people swim it and everything like this. So the whole idea was that it was going to be one of those situations where you could never escape. But I think people have. I mean, you could probably do it, but. No, they say it was solved after 55 years. They say
Alcatraz
that
is one of the most sinister.
They say that they think that was he ever found? Well, no, I mean, he's still wanted technically for his great escape from Alcatraz. You know, what was the other great movie, too, was The Rock. Remember that? The Rock was a great movie. And yeah, that was Sean Connery. Sean Connery in The Rock. Remember that one? Ooh, and Nicolas Cage. Did they film The Rock at Alcatraz? I wonder if they filmed it at Alcatraz. Let's see. The Rock movie, filming locations. Let's see if they actually filmed it at Alcatraz. And key locations include Alcatraz Island. There you go. I guess so. The real Alcatraz prison was used extensively for the movie, including scenes in the cell blocks, mess hall, and shower room. Look at that. So there you go. The Rock. But no, I think that guy Frank Morris is alive. Well, I mean, he's dead now, but I think he escaped. I really do. I think he did escape. Well, there's all kinds of things. You go on the internet, you research it. There's different opinions on whether or not he actually got out of there or not. But my bet is he made it, and then he's dead now because he escaped in the 60s. So, you know. Anyway, all right, that's the show, and you can escape Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla if you want, but I wouldn't. I'd stick around. And I hope to see you tomorrow for Politics and Pints, starting at the Great American Pub for our live show, starting at 3 p.m., and then we'll see you for Politics and Pints. Have a great rest of your night. Keep the conversation going on X @RichZeoli. Thank you.